I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Former President Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. A third time that probably by any construction, any imagination, any viewpoint, regardless of what you think of his guilt or innocence, his savior status, or otherwise, this is the most serious indictment. It is probably the most serious crime that any American can ever be charged with. It is no less and no more than a conspiracy to interrupt the hallmark of every democracy, and that is the peaceful transfer of power. I cannot believe I'm saying this, but for the third time since I came on the air, the very beginning of June, I need to say to everyone that may ever listen to this, here's another 45 pages of reading that should be required for every American. We found it in the first indictment, now superseded late last week. That was required reading. It's in the 30-page dissent from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson in the UNC and Harvard affirmative action case. That is required reading. And now 45 pages from Special Counsel Jack Smith. It is required reading. I have to apologize to you all. I do have a day job, so I only had about 30 minutes after my day job to get as far as I could into the indictment. But I want to turn immediately to the action piece. From on or about November 14th, 2020, through on or about January 20th, 2021, in the District of Columbia and elsewhere, the defendant, Donald J. Trump, did knowingly combine, conspire, confederate, and agree with co-conspirators known and unknown to the grand jury to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, deceit, to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud to obstruct the federal government by which those results are collected, counted, and certified. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election and retain power. Among these were co-conspirator one, an attorney who was willing to spread knowingly false claims and pursue strategies that the defendant's 2020 re-election campaign attorneys would not. Co-conspirator two, an attorney who devised and attempted to implement a strategy to leverage the vice president's ceremonial role overseeing the certification proceeding to obstruct the certification of the presidential election. Co-conspirator three, an attorney whose unfounded claims of election fraud the defendant Donald J. Trump privately acknowledged to others sounded crazy. Nonetheless, the defendant embraced and publicly amplified co-conspirator three's disinformation. Co-conspirator four, a Justice Department official who worked on civil matters and who, with the defendant, attempted to use the Justice Department to open sham election crime investigations and influence state legislatures with knowingly false claims of election fraud. Co-conspirator five, an attorney who assisted in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Co-conspirator six, a political consultant who helped implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. Jim Troupas, they're coming for you. Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Not yet. Giuliani, they're coming for you. Sidney Powell, you too. Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well. all of those that want to talk about Hunter Biden right now and Joe Biden and all that stuff, you either prove it or you shut up. Because what Jack Smith is about to do is prove some crimes in a court of law with witnesses sworn under oath. The evidence will be overwhelming. He will show beyond a reasonable doubt that the president was informed virtually hundreds of times by people hand-selected by the former president to give him advice, to tell him what the law is, and that over 100 times, these people hand-selected by the president told him he lost. He knew he lost. He knew any argument to the contrary had no legal merit or factual basis. And he lied to the American public, resulting in mob violence that took the lives of Capitol Police officers. Donald Trump is a murderer. He once joked that he could kill someone on Fifth Avenue and get reelected. Well, America, the time is now to test that premise. Because in this country, we prove allegations in a court of law. We show it or shove it. The time for hyperbole and rhetoric and exaggeration and all of this nonsense has got to come to an end. It is time for people to put their hand on a Bible or swear whatever other allegiance they hold most dear and promise to tell the truth, to do so in a courtroom under the penalty of perjury, that evidence be shown. So yeah, Kevin McCarthy, you go ahead and impeach Joe Biden, because that circus will not stand under the bright lights that will be upon Donald Trump and all of his co-conspirators, those named, those unnamed, and those who continue to put their personal political ambitions above their patriotic duty. By the way, I need to inject some levity into this most grave moment in our nation's history. President Biden currently is having dinner in khaki pants and a white button-down at a place called Matt's Fish Camp in Delaware with his wife. He's on vacation. Don't expect to hear from the president on this. As well he shouldn't. Might that alone stand in sharp contrast to how the now thrice indicted former president would act. It has been just over 8 months since Merrick Garland appointed Jack Smith as special prosecutor. It's been just over a year since the January 6th committee held its hearings. I expect and I will predict that the Georgia indictment will be soon to follow. I will remind you all that we've spent a painstaking amount of time last week going through three charges. And today, the president, the former president, has been charged with four counts. 18 U.S.C. Section 371, conspiracy to defraud the United States. We talked about that last week. Count two, 18 U.S.C. Section 1512 sub C sub 2. We talked about that one last week. The actual obstruction and an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. The new or additional count that I didn't discuss stems from that same U.S. Code section, that being 18 U.S.C. section 1512, but this time sub K. It's the conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. And finally, count 4, 18 U.S.C. section 241. Yeah, this is the one. It's called conspiracy against rights. That's Donald Trump trying to take away the legally cast vote of millions of Americans, but targeting those efforts in this state at the places where brown and black folks are the greatest portion of the population, where Democrats are the greatest. He didn't seek to challenge drop boxes And Ashlyn Diddy knew. Jim Troupas, they're coming for you. Jack Smith begins the indictment thusly. Despite having lost, the defendant was determined to remain in power. So for more than 2 months following Election Day on November 3rd, 2020, the defendant spread lies that there had been outcome determinative fraud in the election and that he had actually won. These claims were false, and the defendant knew that they were false. But the defendant repeated and widely disseminated them anyway to make his knowingly false claims appear legitimate, create an intense national atmosphere of mistrust and anger, and erode public faith in the administration of the election. You've been hoodwinked, y'all. And Jack Smith's about to prove it. The special prosecutor continues, the defendant had a right, like every American, to speak publicly about the election and even to claim falsely that there had been an outcome determinative fraud during the election that he had won. He was also entitled to formally challenge the results of the election through lawful and appropriate means, such as by seeking recounts or audits of the popular vote in states or filing lawsuits, challenging ballots and procedures. Indeed, in many cases, the defendant did pursue these methods of contesting the election results. His efforts to change the outcome in any state through recounts, audits, or legal challenges were uniformly unsuccessful. But shortly after Election Day, the defendant pursued unlawful means of discounting legitimate votes and subverting the election results. In so doing, the defendant perpetrated three criminal conspiracies. I'm Maggie Dawn. Join us, 844-967-2789. It's the big one, everybody. Welcome, everybody. This may be the first time you're hearing me today, so we're going to take another crack at this. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Network, where we break down the day's most important news. And the news of today is that Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States of America, has been indicted for the third time. This indictment, by any measure, regardless of your party or your politics, your lack of interest or disinterest, this one is the one that matters the most, because it is an indictment that charges the president, the former president of the United States, with a conspiracy to interrupt the hallmark of every democracy. The one thing that matters above all else in the ebb and flow of democracies and their institutions and how they change over time. There's one thing. One thing that democracies and the movement of countries struggling to embrace democratic values point to as the hallmark. And it is that very thing, the heart of our country. It is a conspiracy to undermine that heart of our country that Donald Trump is criminally charged with today. And that is, he undertook every tool in his at his disposal. He made every effort. He used every opportunity to stop the peaceful transfer of power. Whatever you may think of the former president, as this case moves forward, I want you to reflect on that core of every democracy and ask yourself, as the facts become clearer and clearer, as evidence is presented and tested in court, did Donald Trump do anything to actually ensure the peaceful transfer of power? Did he instead, at every opportunity, with every co-conspirator willing to debase themselves at the altar of Donald Trump to put their personal, political, promotional opportunities above their public duty, above patriotism? To stop the peaceful transfer of power. Here is what the indictment of Donald Trump reads. From on or about November 14th, 2020 through on or about January 20th, 2021 in the District of Columbia and elsewhere, the defendant Donald J. Trump did knowingly combine, conspire, confederate, and agree with co-conspirators known and unknown to the grand jury to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, and deceit to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud to obstruct the federal government function by which those results are collected, counted, and certified. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Among these were co-conspirator one, an attorney who was willing to spread knowingly false claims and pursue strategies that the defendant's 2020 re-election campaign attorneys would not. Co-conspirator two, another attorney who devised and attempted to implement a strategy to leverage the vice president's ceremonial role, overseeing certification proceeding to obstruct the certification of the presidential election. Co-conspirator three, a third attorney whose unfounded claims of election fraud the defendant privately acknowledged to others sounded crazy. Co-conspirator four, a Justice Department official who worked on civil matters, who with the defendant attempted to use the Justice Department to open sham election crime investigations and influence state legislatures with knowingly false claims of election fraud. Co-conspirator five, another attorney who assisted in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors. And co-conspirator six, a political consultant who implemented a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors. Jeffrey Clark, they're coming for you. Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, you too. Jim Troupas, please be afraid. Four of these six co-conspirators, by the way, are lawyers. I hope they all see the inside of a cell. As a lawyer, their betrayal of their oath to the Constitution and the people of the United States could not be more repugnant. Here in this country, we test claims with evidence. We make people swear an oath under penalty of perjury. And the evidence here will be overwhelming that hundreds of the people handpicked by Donald Trump told him hundreds of times that he had lost the election. The evidence will be incontrovertible that he knew that fact. He has been lying to the American public ever since. And these won't just be any people. These will be lawyers handpicked by Donald Trump who told him he lost. These will be the top officials in the Justice Department whom he appointed who told him he lost. It will be his handpicked campaign advisors who wanted nothing more than him to win in 2020 who told him he lost. They all told him he lost. He lied to us. He tried to deprive millions of Americans of their vote. And that is a crime against America, no matter what your party. The precedent that president set is the most dangerous threat our country has ever faced. I'll be back with more in a moment. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, 844-967-2789. Tell me what you think about it. And some food next. Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for sticking with us. Had some challenges today. So here we are. It's the big one. It's the January 6th indictment. It's amazing to me. I've been back on the radio for basically 2 months exactly. It's August 1st today. And in those 2 months, I have said not once, not twice, but now a third time that various legal filings are absolute must-reads for every single American. The first one was Jack Smith's indictment in the national security case. The second one was Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent in the Harvard UNC affirmative action case. This is the third one. If you are an American, if you care at all, you need to read the indictment. It's 45 pages. It's not difficult to understand. It doesn't use big words. But it tells you exactly who the former president is. A liar, a manipulator, a con man of the highest order. And you know what is the thing about the confidence man? Is that the mark never wants to admit they've been conned. And so I say to you out there, if you want to stand shoulder to shoulder with this man and defend him, I want you to take a deep look at yourself and ask yourself, what is more likely to be the case? Especially as the evidence of this man's guilt gets tested in front of a jury with sworn testimony and documents that can't be made up and faked. I want you to ask yourself this question: is it more likely that I've been conned? That this man is indeed a liar? A perpetrator, a marketer of falsehoods, of racial hate, of separation, of fear-mongering and paranoia, that this man is not a good man and he is unfit to be president and that I've been conned? Or is it more likely that all of the people who will testify and all of the evidence and all of the people from whom the evidence was gathered, that all of these people, every single elections worker and every judge that Trump appointed, that all of these people across the country, that they're somehow in on stealing the election? Or have you been conned? The most dangerous con of all, the one that attacks your heart and your mind, makes you believe something that is not true, to see things that just aren't there. Because in doing so, you become leverage this man is using to continue to amass power and wealth. I want to read some of Jack Smith's words. Before I do that, a brief release from the tension. Joe Biden and his wife right now are having dinner. He's wearing khaki pants and a white button-up shirt. They're having dinner at Matt's Fish Camp in Delaware right now. He's on vacation. And I don't think you're going to hear from Joe Biden today. Ask yourself, do you think Donald Trump, the former president, will be quiet when Kevin McCarthy bastardizes Congress to indict the sitting president? Do you think he'll be quiet that day? Jack Smith's words, despite having lost, the defendant was determined to remain in power. So for more than 2 months following Election Day on November 3rd, 2020, the defendant spread lies that there had been outcome determinative fraud in the election and that he had actually won. These claims were false, and the defendant knew that they were false. But the defendant repeated and widely disseminated them anyway to make his knowingly false claims appear legitimate. That's the con, which created an intense national atmosphere of mistrust and anger and eroded public faith in the administration of justice. Yeah, which he fomented and culminated. Stand by and stand back. No, don't use the mags on these, my people. Don't form the National Guard up. Ignore those warnings. I am the commander in chief. Let's march on the Capitol. Hang Mike Pence. He allowed this to happen and go on. Violence that has resulted in the death of Capitol police officers. I offer to you today that Jack Smith's indictment is not the worst of Donald Trump's crimes, that he has blood on his hands. Donald Trump is a murderer, that the Capitol police officers that took their lives following January 6th, that is a direct result, a knowable result of Donald Trump's actions. He is morally culpable for the deaths of those people, just as he is morally culpable for the con that he put on Ashley Babbitt that led to her death that same day. Without Donald Trump, none of those people are dead. Not a one. Critically, Jack Smith makes this point in paragraph 3 of the indictment. The defendant had a right, like every American, to speak publicly about the election and even to claim falsely that there had been outcome determinative fraud during the election and that he had won. The defendant had a right to say that, to make these false claims. But that's not what this case is about. Jack Smith continues, paragraph 3, he was also entitled to formally challenge the results of the election through lawful and appropriate means, such as by seeking recounts or audits of the popular vote in states or filing lawsuits challenging ballots and procedures. Indeed, in many cases, the defendant did pursue these methods of contesting the election results. His efforts to change the outcome in any state through recounts, audits, or legal challenges were uniformly unsuccessful. But unlike those lawful means, Jack Smith continues in paragraph 4, the defendant also pursued unlawful means of discounting legitimate votes and subverting the election results. In so doing, the defendant perpetrated 3 criminal conspiracies. We talked about these last week. I broke them down in detail. Conspiracy to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, deceit to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function. 18 U.S.C. Section 371. 18 U.S.C. Section 1512 sub C sub 2, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. The extra count, which we didn't talk about last week because I didn't know it was going to drop, is 18 U.S.C. Section 1512 sub K, which is the conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. And finally, count 4, 18 U.S.C. Section 241, a conspiracy against rights. What it should say is a conspiracy against your rights. He's trying to say that your votes don't matter. And the GOP has told us that the only votes that they don't want to matter are those of brown and black folks, the military that's overseas, the disabled, and the elderly, and women. You should vote however your husband tells you. Mark from the SAC, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show here on this historic day. What say you, my friend?
Yeah, I say that it's about time, and Josh Call, better start indicting his co-conspirators here in Wisconsin. And yesterday I called him when you mentioned the idiot Janelle Branchon.
Yes.
Trying to keep people from voting. And it keyed in my mind that it used to be the root word for idiot is actually something like idiosa, idiotis, that somebody in Athenian Greek democracy who didn't choose to participate in political affairs. It doesn't precisely mean somebody who chooses not to vote, but it's along those lines. So let's not let Janelle and her fellow idiots not turn idiots into the rest of us and actually get out there and vote and get these people out of there. I mean, it is just ridiculous that Donald Trump committed this crime. And let's face it, that Robin Voss and Michael Gabelman assisted in the furtherance of this, you know, helping...
aided and abetted, if you will.
Aided and abetted in the whole thing of that the election was fraudulent and throwing doubt on the election and all this. And Michael Gabelman is still doing that, you know, that... And we had to put that to rest. The vote was legitimate, and Donald Trump likely will never admit it, but we had to force all his little co-conspirators to admit it. Otherwise, they belong in a cell in some deep, dark place, like I said before, in a cell like the one in Lilies in the Tower of London, where they can either stand up or stretch out comfortably, and they can, of course, that would be unconstitutional because it's cruel and unusual, but... It's a little hard to be charitable with these men who've attacked the democracy itself.
I agree, Mark. Thanks for the call. To his point, here are the people that told Donald Trump that he lost the election. This is listed in the indictment. The defendant's vice president, who personally stood to gain by remaining in office, told the defendant that he had seen no evidence of outcome determinative fraud. Senior leaders of the Justice Department, people appointed by the defendant, responsible for investigating credible allegations of election crimes, told the defendant on multiple occasions that allegations of fraud were unsupported. The Director of National Intelligence, the defendant's principal advisor on intelligence matters related to national security, disabused the former president of the notion that the intelligence community's findings regarding foreign interference would change the outcome of the election. The Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, whose existence the defendant himself signed into law to protect the nation's cybersecurity infrastructure, joined an official multi-agency statement that there was no evidence of any voting irregularities. But that any voting system had been compromised and that declared the 2020 election was, quote, the most secure in American history. Senior White House attorneys, handpicked by the defendant to provide him with candid and confidential advice, informed the defendant that there was no evidence of outcome determinative election fraud. Senior staffers on the 2020 reelection campaign, whose sole mission it was to get the defendant reelected, told the defendant on November 7th that he had only a 5 to 10% chance of prevailing in the election and that success was contingent on the defendant winning the ongoing vote counts or via litigation in all of Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. Within a week of that assessment, the defendant lost in Arizona. State legislators and officials, many of whom were the defendant's political allies, had voted for him and wanted him to be reelected, repeatedly informed the defendant that his claims of fraud in their states were unsubstantiated or false, and resisted his pressure to act upon them. State and federal courts, the neutral arbiters responsible for ensuring the fair and even-handed administration of election laws, rejected every outcome determinative post-election lawsuit filed by the defendant, his co-conspirators and allies, providing the defendant real-time notice that his allegations were meritless. Yeah. It's quite powerful, and I've only gotten through 20 pages. But I do want to point something out here. In the midst of all of this horror, there is one thing that is ringing true, and that is that there are dedicated public service servants who take their oaths seriously. And we owe these people our nation's deepest gratitude. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. Please come back with me for the last and summary segment on this most historic day, August 1st, 2023, the indictment of Donald J. Trump trying to stop the peaceful transition of power.
That's when I shot him down. I caught him in a honky-tonk with a girl I used to know.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Donald Trump. Indictment number 3 day. 844-967-2789. So there's 6 co-conspirators listed, and I'm gonna say right now, I think one of them is Jim Troupas. I believe that he is co-conspirator number 5. I think the others are Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, and I'm still trying to figure out who the 6th one is. Your prognostications are welcome. I'm also going to predict this, that the Georgia indictment will be coming post-haste. I'll also predict this. I don't think Josh called us anything for a while. Now, maybe that's because Jack Smith might just charge Jim Troupas, because that could be quite complex. Remember that Fannie Willis is not just investigating Donald Trump, but a whole lot of other actors within Georgia. So stay tuned. Watch this space. Watch this space. I wanted to make a couple of other just factual observations so we can kind of all contextualize this. It's been just over eight months since Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed Jack Smith. When he did so back then, remember, the line on Jack Smith was, guy does not mess around, gets to the point, and moves quickly through investigations. I think that's been borne out here. Yes, it's about time for those of us that are believers, but you literally don't shoot at the king and miss here, so you got to have the evidence. And the more of it, the better. And if I said this during the segment already, I apologize. Don't know if you heard it during segment 1, and it's this. If you want to talk about Hunter Biden and all that garbage, you're never going to do it again on my show until someone is sworn in under oath and we have actual evidence. You hear me? Not anymore. You have to be sworn under oath under penalty of perjury, and you had better come with some evidence. Otherwise, not doing it. In this country, we have evidence and sworn testimony, and we do these things in a court of law. Jack Smith's about to do that. So, Kevin McCarthy, you want to bastardize Congress further to supplicate yourself even more to this criminal, this murderer? Or might you finally find some honor, sir? I need to point out that Wisconsin is a major player in this indictment. I was just able to get through a bit more. Specific paragraphs addressing Wisconsin start on page 20, paragraphs 47, and it goes on. They detailed that a recount was started on November 29th in Wisconsin. I might know something about that. Yeah, I was there every day of the recount. On November 29th, that recount that the defendant petitioned for and paid for did not change the election result and, in fact, increased the defendant's margin of defeat. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was the outcome. On December 14th, the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected an election challenge, and they go on about all the facts, about how there was nothing going on in Wisconsin, and he lost here. Lost, lost, lost. And then, a few pages later, they're talking about the plan. The plan capitalized on ideas presented in a memorandum drafted by co-conspirator 5, an attorney who is assisting the defendant's campaign with legal efforts related to a recount in Wisconsin. So if Jim Troupas isn't co-conspirator number 5, maybe that's Eastman. I think it's either Eastman or Jim Troupas. I need more time to go through this. You'll have more from me later this week. The memorandum evolved over time from a legal strategy to preserve the defendant's rights to a corrupt plan to subvert the federal government function by stopping Biden's electors' votes from being counted and certified as follows. The November 18th Wisconsin Memorandum, and it's then referred to as the Wisconsin Memo throughout the remaining nearly 23 pages of the indictment, advocated that because of the ongoing recount in Wisconsin, the defendant's electors there should meet and cast votes on December 14th, the date that the ECA required appointed electors to vote by, to preserve the alternative of the defendant's Wisconsin elector slate. It goes on and on. So to conclude today, I just want to not only call out public servants, I want to call out women that are serving. And today we saw a new Wisconsin State Supreme Court justice get sworn in. None too soon, eh? We didn't have a politicized Supreme Court, I'm going to remind everybody of that, until that dip blank Gableman was elected in 2008, and he immediately began basically single-handedly bringing the court low, politicizing it. The man is not smart. He is a hack of the hackiest proportions. When you're going to screw up, at least give it the patina of competency. Too stupid to do that with his little sham investigation. So I want to call out women judges. By the way, the judge who's going to hear this case, Tanya S. Chutkan, a 2014 Obama appointee. Oh, by the way, she's already ruled on some Trump nonsense. In November of 2021, Judge Chutkan ruled against the former president's assertion of executive privilege. And she had some really interesting things to say in that ruling, but I just want to give you the best nugget. Presidents are not kings, and plaintiff is not president. The last group of folks I want to call out are attorneys. The work that attorneys do can be uplifting, and it can help elevate democracies and institutions and people and voices. And what we've also seen here, four of those six co-conspirators, lawyers, that attorneys, when they use their powers to oppress, to suppress, to conspire, to commit crimes, can make the obscene seem palatable. I'm going to leave you with this tidbit that I learned long ago. Never be mesmerized by the fancy words. Ask the questions that you need to ask. And until someone who claims to be an expert can explain things to you in plain old English in a way that you understand, don't believe a word they're saying. It's that simple. So what's most likely here, folks, is that this man has debased our country and debased our democracy, and it's high time we take it back? Or is it more likely that hundreds and thousands of public servants and lawyers and judges appointed by this very same man have all somehow conspired to steal the election? The answer is pretty obvious. I'm Maggie Dawn. This has been a historic episode of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back live, not tomorrow, but Thursday. Keep it locked. I'll have lots of juicy bits for you then.